landmark meeting, Jim Newbegin here, 12th of June, and we've got the hairdresser from Southland, Brian McFlynn.
Thank you for coming tonight in these numbers. It says something about our speaker. When I trained in Dunedin Hospital, I trained with an English girl, and at her 21st, her father came over to us and said, if you pat Carol's head, you've patted the head that's been patted by the man that's patted the Queen's bottom. And it was true. Carol was delivered in England by the Queen's obstetrician. So I've got a funny feeling that Brian probably hasn't patted the Queen's bottom, but boy, he's patted a lot of other heads. So I don't have to introduce him, because that's why you're here. You know about him. He's going to explain his whole life today. And there'll be a few funnies, I know there will. So welcome, Brian. And over to you.
Nice to see you all. Hope you stay.
I've often thought Hastings was a fabulous place to grow up as a kid. I never was bored. I'm still not bored, just old. I had a joke. It's annoying when you forget it, isn't it? But tell me, if corn oil is made from corn and vegetable oil is made from vegetables, what do they make baby oil from? We have two of our younger grandchildren go to Mahora School, and the odd time I've gone to Mahora to pick them up at 3 o'clock, and I feel very sorry for the children at Mahora School. And it wouldn't be just Mahora, it'd be all schools. The parents park as close as they can to the school. They stand in the school grounds. They sit at the door of the school. They even go into the classroom at 3 o'clock. They walk the children out and they put them in the back seat of the car and drive off home. The kids obviously get home, go straight inside. I think, when do those children ever get the chance to explore Hastings like I did? To go into buildings. One of the buildings I always remember was Williams and Craig's, the Carriers. They were in Market Street between Eastbourne Street and Linden Road. And they had two doors. Trucks went in that door and came out there. And they had a platform in the middle. I'd get up on the platform. There was always two men there, and they'd load the stock straight onto the truck. The platform was level with the truck. And they'd let me do it. And they never, ever ordered me away. I'd stay probably 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and then I'd go around and watch the bowling club. It was on the corner of Linden Road and Railway Road. Had a high fence, but was higher than I was anyway, and I couldn't see over it. I went in, watched what they were doing. No one ever spoke to me. No one ever ordered me out. It was just, I'd go to the back of a butcher shop and watch them chop up meat. It was an interesting place, Hastings. I think it still is. I remember my sister and I going to St. Matthew's Church. We'd go in there. I sat in the front pew and my sister got up in the pulpit and gave me a sermon. And there was no shuffling around. I had to sit there and behave myself. Didn't have a clue what she was talking about. But that was all right, because I don't think she did either. So maybe the reverend there got an idea for a Sunday sermon. But go to school, I had a friend, Jimmy. And his father had a billiard room in Hastings, here at Connor Street, upstairs. And we'd go along on Sunday and mop out the billiard room for him. And we were only kids. And our reward was we were allowed to play a game of snooker on that far table over in the far corner. And him and three friends, one was called Pat, one was called Titch, I don't know what the other one was called, they'd sit around his office talking and having a beer. And one Sunday we scrubbed the billiard room and we decided to scrub the staircase going down to Heritonia Street. And we left the door open so it would dry out. We went back upstairs and a while later the police arrived. A sergeant and a constable, and they charged Jimmy's father with being open on a Sunday and drinking beer in the billiard room. He went to court, he got fined. So I think that was the last time we did the cleaning job. But we walked everywhere. We never had a bike. We never had any money. We didn't need it because everything we did was free. We didn't have a city council that gave us a bike park or anything like that. We didn't need that. And when we got a bike, we made our own down the section, down the road. We just put our bikes down there, rode them around until I sold the Dominion newspaper at the clock tower. It was tuppence a paper. And one of the nice things in my reign as a newspaper man was they had a wharfy strike. And they brought in the army to man the wharf. And the army guys all stayed at the Drill Hall in Hastings, which was on the corner of Southampton Street and Warren Street, opposite Central School. It was a long wooden building. And the soldiers slept in camp stretchers. I think there was about three, maybe four rows of them. And I'd get on my bike after I picked up my paper, scream around there in the morning, and a tuppenny paper, everyone that bought a paper gave me threepence. So I made a penny, halfpenny, a paper. But if they weren't there, without having a shower or whatever else they do, they'd leave the threepence on the pillow. And I'd just pick it up, leave a paper there. It was great. The only disappointing part was the strike didn't last long enough. But then I'd tear back to the clock tower and sell my papers for tuppence and get a halfpenny a paper. But one Saturday, business was a bit quiet about 7:30. So I thought, well, I'll move down to the King Street here at Thomas Street corner where the old embassy pitch there was, because I might get one or two going to Watties. And I was standing on the corner there, and an elderly lady came driving a little black car along King Street. She parked on the other side of the road. She walked across to me and she said, "Oh boy, I'll have a paper." And she gave me a 2 and 6 penny piece for a threepenny paper and told me to keep the change. I was made. I was a millionaire. 2 and 3. It was absolutely fantastic. But when we did get a bike, and I don't know what age it was, we were mobile. I used to go down Omahu Road, way down Omahu Road, and pick blackberries on the side of the road. Used to get scratches and everything because they weren't in neat, tidy rows. They were just old bushes lying all over the road. We used to take them home and mother and do some baking with them. Used to go out to Havelock North, push our bikes up to Marder Peak Road. It was a shingle road. And then we'd ride them down. We'd come down at 8 knots, no brakes. We could probably get back into the village before it stopped. We made our fun. We didn't need money. We didn't have things. You pressed your buttons and things. But when I was about 15, there was a group of us quite often in the evenings. We'd go to the race course. There was a lake in the race course. Quite a big lake. It was next door to where Chevelle Room is. And we'd fish for eels. I don't think there was any eels there. None of us ever caught anything. Well, I was quite pleased because I didn't like fishing. But I went there, we used to have a ton of fun. There'd be all sorts of stories told and laughs. And Mrs. Johnson used to come, and she loved her cigarettes, and she'd come and sit on the banks of this lake with us. Her husband was the caretaker of the race course. And they actually lived on the race course, about where the 1600 metre starting point is now, and their address was 706 Southland Road. So she was a great lady that smoked the hell of a lot. My father was a farrier, and he insured most of the racehorses in Hastings, and believe me, there was hundreds of racehorses in Hastings in those days. There was racehorse stables everywhere. And when they had a race meeting, which wasn't as often as they seem to have now, they're always on a Saturday, he'd get up very early and to go around all the stables, and they had special shoes they used to run in. So he'd take their everyday shoe off and put their racing shoe on, and then after the races he'd have to do reverse. I used to get up and go with him because he could cook bacon and eggs like no one could. Love that. He'd get the bacon so crispy but not burnt that when you touched it, it broke up, and the egg was always runny. And I used to love that. But we'd go around all the stables and I'd take the nails out, and then we'd go to the races and spend most of the day at the races, and I'd go with them and stay part time. The thing that fascinated me at the races was the vets used to get the winner and take it away to test it for being drugged, and they'd whistle to the horse to make it pee. Better be there with a bucket, better get it and make pee. My father had a friend called Alf. He was a horse trainer in Gisborne. And when the horses won the race, or the race was over, they came back to enclosure, and the attendant would take them straight over to a place where you hosed the horse down, you over the shower. And some official had come along and escort that horse down to the end stall to where the vet was with his bucket. And this Elf's horse won. And they went to the hosing place and they couldn't find Elf. And they hunted all over for him to get this horse. And my father's blacksmith shop was right across the road. And it had double doors in front, which he had locked, and just had an ordinary little door at the back. And I wanted something from the blacksmith shop, so I just bowled in the back door, and here Elf was sitting in the dark, hanging on to this horse. I don't think he had to hang on to it, because it didn't look as though it was going to run away, its head was down, but he was hiding from the officials. And I thought, well, I know that horse has been drugged. Yeah, they never did find him, but I don't know whether my father knew about it or not. But yeah, I got an apprenticeship as a barber in 1952, and I was lucky. I got a hell of a good boss. He was really good. I stayed a few years with him after I came out of my apprenticeship. But he was the biggest bookmaker in Hastings, highly illegal. He had a billiard room half a block down the road that he used mostly just for his betting shop on a Saturday. And on Saturday, there'd be three men sitting behind a big table at the back of the billiard room just writing out bets. And there'd be this queue of people right across the billiard room. Because the TAB wasn't in. The TABs didn't come till about the 1950s, 55, I think. And what I did, I had lots of jobs. First job in the morning was sweep the footpath. No one does that today. Second was clean the windows. No one does that. And on a Monday, you put the rubbish bin out. Friday night, clean the place up. We'd always supposed to knock off at 8:30, but it was closer to 9:30. If there was a haircut to be done, you did it. Didn't matter, you're only paid to 8:30. 9 o'clock, you cut that head of hair. You didn't say to the boss, you owe me half an hour. I mean, that was not, you were the boy, you did it. And I'd clean up the cell. The boss on Monday morning would put his hand in the rubbish bin. He'd be down there, because Saturday night he'd come and hide all the money that he took in the rubbish tip. And he'd pull this money out. Fridays in the barber shop was absolutely fantastically busy. We started at 8 in the morning, and you're lucky if you finish at 9:30. And then I had to clean up. And we had a big cupboard under the basement. So during the day, I'd sweep the floor and just sweep it in to the cupboard. Never picked it up. And Friday night, I usually, with my clean up, I always picked it up, put it in the rubbish bin. But this Friday night, I didn't. I just, too lazy, I just swept it into the... So Monday morning when I came to put the rubbish bin out, I had to pick up the hair from under the basin. There was a big lump in it. So it was the biggest roll of money I've ever seen in my life. The boss had taken the money out of the rubbish bin and he was counting it like, you know. And I come across this tied up a string. It was all £10 and big money. You know, when I was getting £1.10 a week, £2 looked a lot. So I said something, probably, golly gosh, look at this. But he said to me, he said, oh, good God, he said, give me that. He said, I hid that there Saturday night and I forgot all about it. So I often wondered, even today, how could you forget about that at the other night? But we had good times. I wrote a note here, now I've lost my way. But this cowboy said to his son, son, if you want to live to be a grand old age, every morning on your breakfast cereal, sprinkle a teaspoon of gunpowder. So the kid did. He sprinkled a teaspoon of gunpowder every morning on his breakfast cereal. And when he died at the age of 101, he left behind 8 children 20 grandchildren, 37 great-grandchildren, and a 5-metre hole in the crematorium. You know, when I started, there were 17 barber shops at least. There was 14 boot repairers and 11 bike shops. We were a busy town. Oh, yeah. In the barber shop, probably still an apprentice, a man came in one morning, and I think it was 1957, and asked did we do blade shaving, which was with cutthroat shave. And I said, yes, we did. So he got in my chair, and I shaved that man every day until 1994. The 20th of August 1994, I shaved him at 1 o'clock and he died at 2 o'clock. I've often wondered that the shave not go down too well. But he was a fantastic man. He had a permanent 10:30 appointment. He would fix everything up at the end of the week. And if he owed you $100.01, that's exactly what you got. You'd say to him, I scrubbed the 1 cent, he never ever would do that. But if you owed him $100.01, that's what you paid. The last 2 years of his life, I shaved him at his home every day. I called in on my way home at night, about 6 o'clock at night. I called in on Saturday at about 1 o'clock on my way home. On Sunday, I'd wander around about 11 o'clock. He was very crook with emphysema. But we had a very long association. He was a great guy. He was a Dutchman called Will Franson. He did a lot for Hastings. Talking about a Dutchman, when I got my own shop, I'll tell you about that too, but I was only down the road from the Lilac Cake Shop. A Dutchman called Jerry Dennis had that. He was a fantastic chap. At 5 o'clock on a Friday night, he'd sent along one of his staff with a big box of beautiful cakes, rich cakes, all the cakes that's really good for you, you know, those you can last for all the world. And they were for the Hillsbrook Children's Home. Some kids would come in out of a van at 6 o'clock that night, pick up their box of cakes. And Jerry always said it's leftovers. And I used to think, funny how it's always the same leftovers. He made them for them. He was a good guy. But that was another story. Back in the 50s, there was no empty shops in Hastings. You couldn't get an empty shop, didn't know how much I tried. My boss closed down. We had our shop at part of the Carlton Club Hotel, and he wanted to get out of cutting hair and getting into car sales and things. He was Max Ray Batson was the agency he had. But the lady that owned the Carlton Hotel wouldn't have a bar of me. I don't know what I ever did to her. But she wouldn't lease the shop to me at all. So I went and worked for Austin Donovan for, I don't know, a few months. That was a laugh and a half. He was a hard case, was Austin. Greatest spitter I've ever seen. He could be cutting hair and go, and he'd hit the base and all the time. And his wife in the summertime would go across the road to the main milk bar and get him a milkshake. Now, I mean, I used to dread that milkshake. Because it used to make the spitties. 10 minutes after he finished the milkshake, he'd be hitting the basin. He was a funny guy, he really was. But a shop came available down in the council chambers. It was before the council built their offices in Linden Road. And right next door to the Assembly Hall, on Havelock's side of Assembly Hall, was a joker Jim Cleary had had it. He was a boot repairer, and he closed it. He must have been the untidiest man in Hastings, because the shop was a mess. I don't think he ever picked anything up. So when I took over, I had ball bearings, I had bits of leather, nails and everything on the floor. I had to clean up. I used to go down there at night, clean it up, then paint it. The interesting thing, the shop never had any water. So a friend of mine who was a plumber, a back door we had, and you went into a little courtyard, which was as useless as a glass eye to a keyhole. It was, you know, it would never be used. So he said, there's a tap out there. He says, we'll connect up to the tap. He said, get a cold chisel and chisel a hole through the brick on the bottom, and we'll put the pipes through. So I got the cold chisel, started tapping the brick, and the whole brick slid out. It just slid out. So we used that, and I put the brick back. 7 years later, when I left the place, I turned the tap off, disconnected the pipe, and slid the brick back in. Still sitting there today, I'd say. But carpenters were doing some alterations up in the assembly hall. And one of them come down, he said to me, this building has stood the 31 earthquake, but he said, the next shake, he said, you run like hell. But when I went there, finally we got the place clean and got started. This side of the assembly hall, there was three or four shops. And one of the shop owners came and welcomed me to the block. And he said, now he said, I'll tell you what you do. He said, every year, write to the city council, telling them that you're having a hard time. It's a struggle to make ends meet, and could they see their way clear to reduce the rent? He said, they won't reduce the rent, but he said, they won't put it up. He said, I've been doing it for years. Yeah. There was a plane crash. Three soccer players in a private plane that crashed in the middle of the bush. They were lost. The pilot was killed. And after 3 or 4 days sitting there, one of the soccer players said, we're going to survive. He said, we're going to have to eat the pilot. So they agreed, and one goes, well, he says, I'll eat his legs. He said, I play for Leeds. The other joke said, well, I'll eat his liver because I play for Liverpool. The third guy said, I think I'll give it a miss. I play for Arsenal. I don't know whether I've got much more to say to you. I'm going to say you had enough already. The only thing I find fault with Hastings at the moment is it's wonderful, I think, the sports park out there. I think that's fantastic. I go walking there some Sundays and I look at it like this is just a fantastic park and it's going to get better. I think the BMX tracks are fantastic, the skate park. The council's done a lot of good work, but they've forgotten about the oldies. I go walking, and some days my legs don't work as good as I'd like them to, and you think I'd love to stop and have a sit down, but there's nowhere you can sit. And I know a lot of other guys that are older than me, and they've given up walking because they can't find anywhere to sit down and watch the world go by for 5 minutes. And I think, why don't they put a seat every block? Doesn't have to be a lazy boy chair, just a plank that you can sit down on. Even here at Thomas Street, there's seats in the mall and round the clock, but it's hard work getting there. You haven't got a place to stop. Yeah, that's about my whinge. We used to bike down to, some of you might be able to help me, we used to bike down Moraikokahu Road to a creek or a lake, and we'd go fishing for tadpoles. Do you remember that? There was one down there, was there?
It was deep.
Deep, was it?
When you dived in, you couldn't get to the bottom of it.
Oh, couldn't you?
No, I tried.
No, I can never, of course. Well, there was. Oh, I thought about that. Was I dreaming that there was a creek? Well, there you are.
Brian, I'm going to get people to ask questions.
Well, that could be embarrassing. They can ask them, they won't get an answer.
I'd like to know how many houses you lived in Hastings.
Two. Just two. The one I left when I was two and the one I'm still in. Eleanor's my wife, she's the one with a covering of face back there. Her and I bought it when my parents passed away. So it was two houses. We've done a few alterations. I haven't wanted to go anywhere else. I live opposite the race course. I've got a great view. I could have a cup of coffee in the morning and watch the horses running around. I never do, but I can. I look across the race course to the Havelock Hills. And I just love the area, always have. Great neighbours, never see them or hear them. Yeah.
So how many different shops did you have in town over the years?
More than I've had houses anyway. Yeah, I only had two, to be honest. I worked in four different places. I had two bosses. I've had two of my own shops. The first shop was next to the Assembly Hall, and I was there for 7 years, and then I moved around to Warren Street, and I was there 25 years. and I've been home 25 years, so yeah.
Brian, who cut your hair?
Actually, style it. Eleanor, she cuts my hair. She never does it quite right. She never gets the part on the right side. But I don't complain.
I thought it was
John Simons. John Simons has cut my hair. We used to cut each other's. We used to run together, John and I. Yeah, good bloke.
What schools did you go to?
I went to St. Joseph's Primary. And any of you people that's heard me sing will be surprised to know I got kicked out of singing class. For misbehaving, actually. Another boy and I, we both got kicked out. So we're behind the singing hall and we sat in the sun and had a cigarette. Told one of the nuns sometime later, I said, the only thing I learned at your school was to smoke.
Of the various mayors of Hastings has had over the years, which one would you like to have your opinion to be the most for Hastings?
Oh, I don't know, I think they all do their bit, don't they? I wouldn't want their job. Oh, I think they're all been pretty good. I don't take a great deal of interest in politics, but I think every mayor's contributed a bit to the good of Hastings. Hastings is a great place. Some years ago, I voted for social credit, and my friends gave me heaps about this, but I've never been a one-party person. I voted for social credit, and people told me they don't have any money. They only have funny money. Crazy. But only a short while ago, we got two banks. So I said to Eleanor, go to this, whatever the name of the bank, and transfer some money to Westpac. And when she came home, she said, oh, that was easy. So the lady at this SBS bank said, oh, you don't have to do that. I'll do it now for you. So she got on her computer. There you go. She said, it's in your bank now in Westpac. And I said to Eleanor, that's social credit spending. There ain't no money. Just figures on paper. Where's all these jokers that used to sling off?
Brian, I was just wondering if you had any neighbouring kids that you used to get up to pranks with.
One of our neighbours next door to us was a choker, Mr. Wilding. Cliff Wilding. He was the manager of New Zealand Loan and Mercantile. I can remember him coming home one day and he had a brand new car, the firm's car. So he sang out to us kids over the fence, would we like a ride? And he took us for a ride in his brand new Ford 49. yeah, he was a good guy. You're not related to him, are you?
Actually, I am. That's why I am.
Glad I liked him. But no, they were good. Cliff Wilding was good because my sister, she used to lead me a bit astray, and there was this lady lived around the corner and we used to play tricks on her. She was mad. And I don't know where we got it from. We got an empty beer bottle one night. We went and sneaked around the bushes and hid it by her bedroom window because she used to tell us men sat outside her window. And Cliff Wilder was outside and he saw it and he never pipped on us. he was good. Talking about that, I went to cut a lady's hair one night in Whitehead Road and she was deaf, as deaf as deaf. She used to have a big thing here and she'd scream at you when she talked to you, the rest of Hastings heard it. It was getting a bit dark and a lot of bushes around and I knocked and knocked and knocked on the door. Couldn't get her, so I went next door to Pat Russell and I said to him, how do you get this lady to hear you? They said, go and jump on the front veranda. So I'm jumping up and down the front veranda. They're having a load of me, those people. Some of them's going to ring the cops, and so there's a strange guy in the neighbours jumping up and down. But it worked. She heard it. Yeah. She hit the vibration through the floor, so they told me. And I thought, well, I got sucked in here.
Brian, the styles of hair cutting.
Yeah, when I started was definitely short back and sides. At Friday nights, we were expected to do 6-minute haircuts. You wouldn't get away with it today. If you were longer, the boss would be saying you're dragging the chain. But everything had to be neat and tidy. I remember one Friday night, you know, there was a barber in between my boss and I. And my boss came over to me and he said, that last haircut you let go out, he says, you had a scissor line in it. I don't want to see another one. It was just one little scissor line. I thought, there, my boss has got great eyesight. Yeah, but that was it. It had to be neat and tidy and every here and place. Now they stick it up and I'm trying to get that stuff. Styles have changed, but they're coming back to what they were. It's done around circle. I found it very, very hard when young people would come in and ask for a bowl cut or steps in their hair. Found it very hard to do because it was right against what I was being taught. Yeah. Yet he was a great boss. I was extremely lucky. Did my 10,000 hours with him, which I did in 4.5 years. Every apprenticeship was 10,000 hours, which was 5 years, but I did it in 4.5 because I worked night time, and I stayed another 4 years with it afterwards. Yeah.
Did you ever draw blood?
Yes, I did actually, and I...
Yes, he did.
I was there on my own, and a guy came in, and we were right next door to the Carlton Hotel, so we used to get a few guys in there that had a few drinks, and this guy came in, he was fairly tanked up, and he wanted a shave. So I said, goodness, mustard. So I was shaving him, and I was pulling the blade around here, and a noise happened outside, and he swung his head. I'm going that way. I think he blunted my blade, actually. But he bled badly, that guy, and I was never so pleased to see the boss come in, and he stopped it. Got rid of them and then gave me a rocket for shaving a drunk, so I never shaved one. But yeah, no, I did draw blood, but it's a long time since I have. I always had the ambition of writing a joke book. So any joke I heard, I would always write the punchline. I finished up with a little book full of punchlines and didn't know the rest. When I was a little boy, my older brother had a car. And he used to take girls out. And I didn't know what you did when you took a girl out. So one night he's taking this girl out and I hid in the back of his car. And he drove this girl to the river. When he got to the river, he said to this girl, now are you going to be a good girl or are you going to walk home? So she opened the car door, got out, walked home. And I thought, oh, that's what you do there. So a couple of years later, I got a push bike and I got a girlfriend. One day I doubled her out to the river. Got to the river and I said, now, you're going to be a good girl or are you going to walk home? And she says, oh, I'll be a good girl. And I thought, well, that's bugging it now. Well, I'm a member of the Orphans Club. Hastings, that's a fantastic club, by the way. We have a lot of fun. We're entertainers, we have singers and musicians, and we have a group that go to rest homes and sing. But I'm in the skip group, and we have a lot of fun. And we sit round the table on a Wednesday night. But every fortnight we have our own little concert. We've got to put a skit on. So we sit round the table on a Wednesday night and come up with ideas for a skit. And that's when your jokes can come up.
So the book's going to the Orphans Club.
Well, they don't want it. They've got heaps of their own. But yeah, no, it'll probably go in the wheelie bin or something. No.
Did Maury ever get visits from the police while you're still barbering? Max?
No, he didn't. He got caught once, and he reckoned that was fantastic advertising because everyone knew he did it. So he just carried on. It's quite funny. I had an operation on my eye a couple of weeks ago, and the surgeon there, she was fantastic, but she didn't sew it up. She packed it and then put plaster all over it. My eye was completely covered. And we had our annual orphans concert for the public that we raised a few bob. And years ago, in 1962 or something, my club, which was a very clean club, we weren't dirty players. We played Hastings Old Boys, and there was a guy on the wing for Hastings Old Boys called Kevin Norris, and he was at North. He'd get away with it today, the way the game's going, but he'd join our mall. So our captain said to two of us, one of you, whichever's the closest, hang one on him the next time he comes into the mall. So it was me. So I hit him, and Mark Jones, a lot of you know Mark Jones, he played in the same team. And Mark told me, well, many months later, he said, geez, it must have been a good hit you put in, because he said in the dressing room afterwards, his mouth was all split. I said, well, that's disappointing. It's taken me all this time to find out how successful I was. But I'm at the concert the other day, and Mark Jones comes up to me and says, I see Kevin Morris is going to my claim to fame in rugby. Yeah, I refereed rugby for 20 years, and that's when I had this covered one. Young guy said to me, you're lucky, he says, you've had years of practice of being one way. I was a front rower, the workhouse, you know.
Brian, it's fantastic. Thank you so much.
Pleasure,
it's
thanks for having me.
Very sweet. Thank you. You've come to the right place, because our Landmarks people here will certainly take your message about seats back. Well, they've got to listen to us, because they don't pay us. So we can sit in at these meetings and tell them things. I think it's a very valid point. Yeah.
I thank you all for staying. I often I've got the same crowd at the end as I did.
I think he deserves another round. Yeah.